All right, people, we're going to start today. Of course, I'm doing a teaching today, and this is on Romans 12:19, and my title is "Vengeance is Mine," said the Lord. Let me read Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine," said the Lord. "I will repay," said the Lord. So that kind of sums it up, that we are not to take revenge. And when Paul was writing this, I think he was referring to us as a family, you know, the church itself, the way I look at it. I mean, because if we can't be cordial or forgive one another, then how are we going to forgive somebody outside? So I just kind of want to start off by playing a song. Kind of music, so.
I like the music, but I don't like the message.
You don't like the message? I'm sure, Pastor, that.
I couldn't understand anything he was saying.
I want to say this, Bob. Because you hear in so much.
Pastor, I'm sorry. Thank you.
You hear it in a lot of Christian music. A lot of Christian music is not very good theological, okay, as far as the scripture. Think of the words. When I look into my enemy's eyes, I see my brother. Is that true?
No.
Uh-uh. Yeah, there's when you read through the New Testament, you find that there were people they told to avoid. Okay, now we're to treat our enemies differently, but you better realize they're your enemy. Okay, they're not a friend of the gospel or what have you. So there's a balance there. We're to show them love, we're showing them compassion, but we're not supposed to, you know, just drop everything we believe and just accept them and embrace them. That is what the modern church has done, and that's why, well, you know, there's no distinction. There's no lines, no boundary lines anymore. So I like the music, but I was like, okay, this message, when I look into my enemy's eyes, I see my brother. No, you see your brother as somebody who's born again. You know, just read Galatians and look at the strong language that Paul uses towards the Judaizers that were demanding that Christians be circumcised to show that they were part of the covenant. He condemns them. He didn't, you know, so we got to be very careful. Not, you know, like I said, a lot of Christian music, we got to be very careful of what they're saying. Hey, we like it, and, you know, it's a good part. Hey, treat people with love and respect and what have you, but they're not your brother until they're what? Born again.
Yeah, but isn't that what Christ said in the beginning?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
he said in the beginning, this is to the church. He said this is for us. Yeah, so I'm going to cover my husband, Pastor Don.
Thank you, babe. Got it back. Got you back.
Wester, I could see that song for you. It said, when I look into my enemies. You don't have no enemies, though, do you? No. Okay.
It does, like Pastor Don said, speaks of, you know, love your neighbor, love your brother, love your enemy. Why does it classify? Why doesn't it just say love? Because there's a different love shown to each one because of the circumstances of who you're showing the love to.
Go on, Prince. You're good.
All right,
you guys
ready?
Hit the beehive.
All right, you guys ready now? But
are you ready?
But it's kind of funny because when I was thinking about playing this song, I knew Pastor Don was going to say something about it. And, you know, you're exactly right. You know, I mean, Jesus does say be gentle as lambs, but wise as a serpent. I mean, if somebody does not like you, and he's never going to like you, then you can't beat your head up against the wall trying to make him like you. You know, let's get that. But like I was saying, I was referring this more to us as a family of believers because we are a family. And, you know, it's all right, let me not get ahead of myself because I got that farther down. That's a non made me go up. But when I was thinking about revenge and you know, first I like to think, you know, I mean, I like to talk about, you know, because it says, don't take revenge, my dear friends. So I'll break it in half, God's revenge and, you know, our revenge, what we think we need to do. And so I just phrase, and it's an old one, revenge is a dish best served cold. I mean, for some reason it was going over in my head when I was reading. So I kind of, you know, of course I had to look it up, right? So it says, it means you should not take revenge immediately after an offense when you are most upset and flustered. Under those conditions, you can react, your reaction can be wrong and even backfire. Be patient. Take your time. Stay cool. Be calm and plan your revenge carefully. Wow, this is pretty good advice, eh? Then implement your plan and strike the offender after time has passed. Then when he least suspects it, then your pleasure will be great and also his pain and surprise. Now, if you think that's a good plan, there's prayer upstairs after service. But, you know, sometimes I think we might do this without even knowing we're doing it, you know. And, you know, like if somebody, you know, with us, I think it's more of a offense when we hear somebody talking about us or we think somebody has, you know, done somebody, overreached their bounds in some areas. And, you know, this scenario comes into mind, you know, that you're going to say, you're going to wait for an opportunity to go tell the pastor on them, or I don't know, to get them back in that way, or wait for an opportunity where they might fall, and so you can pounce on them, you know. And that is, are you doing it, like if somebody's doing something wrong or something, yeah, you should go to the pastor, but what's your motive? Is your motive that you're going to get even, or is your motive to help the person out? You know, and that's what we have to, it all starts in our mind, you know, to understand what we're thinking is wrong. You know, because the way we think is the way we're gonna act. I mean, so that's why it's so vital for us to be in the Word daily. Because the world is totally opposite. We all know this, you know, from what God would have us do. So if we're in the world all day and we don't spend no time with the Lord, then who's going to be the more influence on our life? It's going to be the world. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, so they, so I put, do we think about taking revenge? Why? And why can't we? I mean, if somebody offends us, I mean, is it an eye for eye? I mean, can I pay back the offense with an equal offense? I won't go overboard. I'll just, you know, do what they done to me. You know, what's wrong with that? Sounds good for the world. I mean, the world says you're in a good, you're all right. You know, but C.S. Lewis, and I couldn't find this, and I read this months ago. It was one of his daily devotionals. So I'm just going to try to say it from memory because it was good. Because when the way we thought and the way we, you know, still think in some areas, it's all because of our upbringing or our environment or the friends we choose to hang around with. Or, you know, people say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you was made. The way you supposed to be or the way you are is what you are in Christ Jesus. So to say that's the way I am, you're already at a disadvantage in your mind because that's not the way you're supposed to be. You know, you got to have in your head, I'm going to be who Christ Jesus wants me to be. I mean, and is it an easy walk? Of course not. Anybody who's been walking can tell you that. Is it a walk worth taking? And of course it is. You know, I mean, I think we like to give ourselves so far, but then we don't like to give all of us. Jesus wants all of us. You know, so I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, back to C.S. Lewis. But he says, that pretty much what I just said, but it's, that our upbringing, our environment, you know, our friends, who we choose to hang around with has made you into what you was, you know. And now it's time for Christ to show you who you really supposed to be, you know. So with that in mind, you know, we can go back to Romans 12:2 before Paul even gets to this area of Romans. He tells you how we are to, how can we do this? How can we not take revenge? How can we not repay evil with evil? You know, basically treat people that who have offended us with love. You know, because he knows it's contradictory to what the world teaches you. And Paul says in 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we know what God's will is? I mean, of course, by the Word, by his written Word. You know, I mean, when you start reading the Word, then you have questions. You have things to come to the pastor with or elders with and say, hey, what does he mean by this? You know, if you're not into the word, you're doing a great, as I said this a lot of times before, you're doing yourself a disadvantage because you're coming to church and you're just, and which is good, don't get me wrong, but you're just hearing what the pastor's saying up there and then you're going. You know, do you have any questions? Is there something that's speaking to you that you need to dig into the word and, and check it out? I mean, I talked to my elders, I talked to my pastor for years, but the greatest growth is when I hear from the Lord when I'm reading his word. And then I go back to the pastor, this is what I'm getting from it. Is it accurate? And when the pastor tells me you're right on, then I know it. So then you're really built up because you heard from the Lord. So the Lord is just not this something they talk about. He's living and breathing and he's in your life. I mean, that is awesome to me. I mean, dang, you're talking, we ain't talking about, the president. We're talking about the Lord that made the earth, the stars, everything. It takes time out for you. I mean, so if you don't, I mean, that's the way I look at it, and it's awesome, So why can't we take revenge? This holding a grudge is against God's plan for his people. We are part of God's kingdom, and it is much bigger than our selfish desires. Because we, holding a grudge and seeking revenge. When I look at this, revenge is a dish best served cold. It's talking about a person that is laying in wait for the opportunity to strike. There's another person in the Bible that lays in wait. I mean, the devil's like a roaring lion waiting for to pounce on somebody. So you're actually in the same category as the enemy. When your mind is in that, the mind is the devil's playground, they say. So when he got you thinking like, oh, that person offended me, get them back, You can't physically crack them sometimes, but, that's the way we would have handled it before. But again, we had to be transformation of the mind, And if you ever, I don't want to get ahead, but because if you think it's a New Testament thing, I live by the Old Testament, Look at Joshua, and no enemies, But it's not a New Testament thing. Because I can go back to the laws of Moses in Leviticus, and it's 9:19-18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against your against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that sounds familiar. I am the Lord. So that's, why would Jesus say the same thing? Because he said it back then, because he is God. So, I like it when it says among your people, because those are people. Well, this in here, Jesus said, who's my brother, who's my mother, who's my brother? The one that does the will of the Lord. And that's why I play the song. It's not because, everybody, our enemy out there is, we are to love and, the Bible says it, but that's just under, let's talk to, I like talking to my pastor, But what he said is, it's, of course it's accurate too, because some people you're just not going to get along with. But like I said, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are mandated to get along with each other. So we can't hold grudges against each other, even though, like I said, offense is going to come, but the main thing is how long are you going to let it go on? And it's not, I don't want to say it's not the offense that is important, but it's the forgiveness, of the offense with each other. And, Jesus says, humble yourself to one another. And I think well, how do we humble ourselves? Well, for one thing, you know, he says, do not think more highly of yourself than, you know, think of others more highly than you would yourself. You know, so it's like, I guess, you know, if you think, the way I look at it is, you know, is basically take the log out there, you know, don't look at the twig in your brother's eye, look at the log in yours. Because if you can actually say you never talked about somebody, you know, or you haven't done pretty much the same thing that was done to you, you know, then you can walk, you know, up high and go to the Lord and ask him for some vengeance on that person. Because I don't want to, you know, be asking for vengeance and I'm guilty of the same stuff, you know, because, okay, you want vengeance on that guy, here's one for you too, buddy, you know. I mean, I don't know if the Lord, he's righteous. The Lord's righteous now. I mean, when we start praying against somebody, you better make sure that you ain't in that same category. Because, and that's how I kind of keep myself, because I've done a lot of dirt in my day, so like everything I think about, I know I done at least. But it's good because you didn't know no better back then, you know, and maybe that person don't, you could say they should have knew. Well, they don't. You know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean, come on. You know, so we need to be more humble to one another. And there's certain things you can be, and certain things really get under your skin. So I think that's that certain thing that gets under your skin is probably what the Lord's gonna bring up more. So it don't get under your skin as much. You know, so but that so it's, where was that? Oh, Leviticus. So yeah, it's so we'll talk. Well, here's another scripture I got. I wrote a lot of scripture down. It was just like, I go to one scripture and it take me to another one, take me to another one. Next thing you know, I got 3 pages of scripture. So, but I had to actually stop, you know. But Proverbs 26. 4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. And then it says 5 is answer a fool according to his folly, and he is wise in his own eyes. So it's actually, and then First Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. So what this is telling you is when you get in Proverbs, when you get offended or even maybe in a disagreement, are you lowering yourself down to that same level as a person that's offending you? Then you're just like a fool yourself. You know, Jesus says, you know, soar on wings of eagles, you know, be lifted up above all that. You know, I mean, it's got to come down to our pride. Do we need to defend ourselves? You know, do we need to, or can we just, like, and this is, it kind of goes off. I mean, I was going to read it later, but I always like this scripture where if anyone, and this is in Matthew, this is Jesus talking, 10:14-15. If anybody would not, this is, he sends his disciples out to spread the gospel, you know, and this is kind of, it's talking about something else, but it shows you God is a God of judgment. You will take revenge. And it says, if anybody will not welcome you, or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than that town. Yeah, that's pretty. Sounds like Jesus is going to take care of business. And, you know, this, Jesus is all love. You can't do that, Pastor. I mean, come on. But there's a lot more where it says God will revenge. He will, you know, there is a judgment that comes upon people. But the way, the reason I said I read this Matthew 10, 14, and 15 is because the way Jesus tells them to react. Just shake the dust off your feet and move on. You know, don't think about that town because you got another town to go to. You know, you're on a mission and we're on a mission. We can't think about that person that offended us 2 days ago because we got to go about our business. We're about the Lord's work. You know, and but the devil wants us to stay back. He wants us to think about that. I mean, what the disciples, yeah, you went to that one house, you slammed the door in my face, and went that two towns back. You know, I mean, how can you, I mean, seriously, but, so how can we move on when we're holding on to that past offense? I mean, if we shake the dust off our feet and move on, then they are in the Lord's hand. And Lord, hopefully they see the errors of the ways, because if you see a person, I've seen this before, I ain't going to name no names, but, you know, their life is hectic. You know, they always, they're just waiting for the next argument. Waiting for the next thing to get into. You know, and I was like, there's never no peace in their lives. Huh? But, you know, and you can't help but feel so sorry for them. You know, they don't know how to take an offense. They don't know how to... Always on Facebook, you know, I mean, crying about something. You know, dang. You know, really? And then, oh, you should have seen that through Trump one. Oh, it was, world come to an end. Look at it. I said, call Brian. No. But you see these guys, it's like, you know, they're just, they lost their minds, man. I was like, really? All right, so, I guess I covered, you know, that we should not take revenge, but are we good with God's revenge? Did God pay back that person, you know, to your satisfaction? You know, is that what do we think that they should be paid back a certain way? God's not your, you know, you don't follow you. You know, that, you know, it reminds me of Joshua, where he sees the angel on the trail. Joshua asked him, are you with me or are you against me? The angel says, neither. You know why he says neither? Because he's not with us, we're with him. He's the Lord. We got to follow his lead. You know, the Lord is, you know, first talked about me. You know, I mean.
You say that, and you say it truly, but, you know, in most cases, the vengeance of the Lord in most cases are worse than we could have done. In just about 95% of the cases, his vengeance is a lot worse. You know, we almost say, oh man, did they really deserve that? Mm-hmm. If God says they deserved it, they deserve it. Worry about yourself.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting to next, Bob. But it's, like Bob said, it's... I guess I was more going for, we want it done tomorrow. You know, we don't see nothing. I mean, and again, we got to watch ourselves, because are we waiting for them to get struck down? But we're in shaky territory there. You know, I mean, again, shake the dust off your feet, brother. Don't worry about it. You know, and, you know, let them be. You know, but like Bob said, do you really want the Lord to take vengeance on you? Dude, I better that you come at me, you know, than the Lord. I mean, come on.
I was going to ask you guys, how many of you saw God take vengeance last week?
I did.
In what?
I did.
Where at?
I'm just talking about the election.
Yes. Yes.
And he does.
That's exactly right. You know, here you had a woman, her entire life was seeking a particular position and power and stepping on everyone that would get in her way and promoting lifestyles that were contrary to the Word of God, using the Word of God when she thought it was convenient, really being blasphemous. And I said this before the election, it was almost like, you know, she's reaching for that ring that golden ring and gets within just a fraction, and then it's taken away. If you couldn't see God's judgment on her, this guy rises up who is a TV personality. No experience whatsoever. All the polls saying that there's no way that Hillary was going to lose. And it shows you that. And who would have thought out that whole plan? You know, that here she is, and then boom, they have that rug. That is the way God works. He gave her years to continually repent. But instead of repenting, she doubled down on what she believed, on attacking people. You see her health deteriorating. Don't think that God doesn't bring his judgment. You know, and that's a national figure, but it happens every day. And so that's why we're to pray, God, listen, I'm not taking that vengeance. Maybe sometimes you have to go through the courts because you have to, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. But that personal going, like you were saying, you know, in that heat of the moment going after him. And I'm sure we all would have liked to have moved her out of the scene many years ago. But you see how God's timing is perfect. His judgment is always just. The one thing, the idol that she made in her life was taken from her and destroyed in her entire life. Because what's she going to do now? She's not going to be able to run again. You know, she's not going to be able to run. But that just shows you that God's saying, I'll bring you to the very precipice of what you want. And because you've treated me this way, I'll destroy it in a minute. It's just incredible to sit back and watch it. You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you go online, you would see people, you know, we were praying for this. How many people prayed and fasted that she wouldn't get in there? And so we see God moves within history. But a lot of times we're blind to that. And we don't, you know, and that's why it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because he knows how to bring about a just judgment even better than us. So that was an incredible thing. And the more I think about it, the more I meditate upon it. It should cause chills to go through our body. Like, you know, when somebody starts messing with God, all these WikiLeaks, and I mean, just, it was like a slow death. It was like that, you know, those children that are being aborted, that her and her husband have supported, that Planned Parenthood thing, being slowly removed and killed, burned to death. And we see that in the natural, how she just was embarrassed and humiliated and brought down. God may still save her. We don't know. But at this point here, God's judgment came upon her, and we saw it, and we should be able to fear.
You know, Vegas makes their living on odds, knowing what to bet for and what. You can't beat the House. When there was 14, when the first 14 Republican primary started, the first 14 people threw in their hat, the odds on Donald Trump winning the presidency was $2,500 to a dollar. I would like to put a grand on that, wouldn't I? In hindsight. But that's how. That's why it's showing that it's way more than a coincidence. This man come from that into that, right? Against all odds, definitely.
Yeah, I just loved it because God came in and they never knew what hit them. It's like that's the way God works, you know. When we want to take vengeance ourselves, you know, like I was telling Esther, we do exterior, he does internal. And he does things that will stay and last. And that's what he did. They didn't know what hit them, and that's why there's so much anger now. You see the enemy coming out, like, so angrily. But it's like God had his way. Yeah. My daughter says, Mom, it's so crazy. Everybody's so angry. I said, what you're seeing is the enemy versus God, and God's winning. And that's why you see such vengeance and anger and hate, because that's the enemy, because God had his way. Just like when he died on the cross, he had his way. And the enemy, you know, I'm sure back then there was vengeance all over. Yeah, I mean, we see it in Scripture, you know, but when God says something, it's done. And nobody or nothing can change that.
That was, tell them about the cities that he mentioned, that the Lord said, shake your work. What happened to those cities? Every one of them.
Yeah, you know, those cities that the apostles went to, 40 years later, the Roman legions came through those particular cities and wiped them off the face of the earth. So we might think that God is slow in bringing about his judgment. And you've heard our stories over and over, and you probably know people, you know. But when God moves, it causes a fear. I told this story many times when my wife was on that school board, and there was a group of these women that continually harassed her over 3 or 4 years. Donna knows she was there. And then she gets a phone call from the leader. I need to talk to you. I'm dying of cancer. They've only given me a couple weeks. And you went, oh. And my wife went over there and prayed and forgave her. And, you know, hopefully she's in heaven. You don't want to see anybody go to hell. But at least she was smart enough to recognize, you know, I better get things. Well, then the other woman that was with her, a couple weeks after that, she finds out her husband had been having a 10-year affair on her. Guess who? She calls Laura, and Laura's got to go minister to all these people, the enemies. But it's at that point there that, that forgiveness has got to come in. And you tell them, you know, you've gone through this because of how you've treated God's people. That's why Jesus said, if they've done it unto you, they've done it unto me. And that's why he says, I'll take vengeance. So a lot of Jesus' ministry, and John the Baptist, we talk about this on Thursday, John the Baptist came not just to prepare the way to announce the good news and call the nation to repent, but also to give a very stern message. And that message was that you're going to be destroyed. God's judgment is coming. Repent. Or else. And he told those Pharisees, you know, who warned you to flee from the soon coming wrath? So it was a twofold ministry, to offer God's grace to those that received it. They were saved and healed and right with God. And those that reject it came under God's judgment. But those cities you mentioned, Bob, they were wiped. And the reason he says it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed quickly. Mm-hmm. Those cities, the Romans starved them to death and tortured them and crucified them. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go in a flash of light than, you know, days or months mm-hmm. or years of, you know, starving to death and then torture. So Christ's word always come true, and you can bet the house on it.
All right, I'll close with. Well, I got
one more comment, Brett.
All right, one more.
One more comment.
I just wanted to say that I talked to my daughter Wendy, and I said, "Why did Trump have to come out with all those off the wall comments and, you know, provoke people and do all that? Why didn't he just show his humble side like he did after the election when he was gracious?" And she had a good point. She said that God. She prayed. She was one of the ones that fasted and prayed. And she said that God told her he had to do that to be feared by the world, by everyone, because that was God. Because if he was just kind of, you know, nice guy and all that, he would have been just another nice guy. But this got their attention, like you said. And that's why he did it.
Mr. Rogers, with yeah. What?
Yeah. You scribes, you Pharisees, you snakes, you vipers. You know, so... Yeah, and as Bob said, you know, that he wasn't a Christian, but that doesn't mean God can't use him. Could have used Hillary. We said it didn't matter who won. I mean, for us, we definitely wanted somebody righteous. We know the path she would have went down. But, you know, that it's so important that we were able to distinguish between good and evil, and God can use evil men to accomplish good things.
That's right.
You know, and so our trust is in God, that he's direct us and lead us, but... It was scary to watch that. I mean, on one hand, we're rejoicing, and we're like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I couldn't go to sleep that night. And then when I woke up, it was like that fear of the Lord came upon me, like, you know that old thing, your arms are too short to box with God. He may allow it to go for a while, but the day of reckoning will always come.
The most important thing is the Supreme Court. Presidents come, presidents go. It's a Supreme Court. He has a chance of putting three people on that court that's going to change the whole history and course of the United States for a generation at least. So that's God. Yeah. He's looking out for us. We ain't got enough sense to look out for ourselves. He'll look out for us.
What I actually liked about the election, because I followed it, and if you ever look, they had, they called it the Blue Wall. These are states that, you know, the only one to win them was like back in Reagan or '80 or something. And so it's things, I guess I look at it like she beat you. I mean, you know, he beat you in your own turf. It was an overwhelming rejection of you because even your own states you lost. You know, I mean, all three of them, they call it the Rust Belt. They actually call it the Blue Wall. Well, just like Wall of Jericho came tumbling down. You know, so hey. I got a few things.
They say that he said some nasty things. Ronald Reagan, told him when they were holding our prisoners over there for those 52 days, when he become president, he was going to bomb them into the Stone Age. They were going to be living by campfires for the next 100 years. Now, that scared him. Not Jimmy that said, "Oh, we don't have gas. I'll walk along the parade route and show you that you guys won."
You know, we read in the Old Testament scriptures like this. God says, "You are like offal that I'm casting on the ground." That word, okay, is much more serious in content, and to the Jewish mind was a more offensive word than the words that we use. So God would use very harsh language to shake the very soul and spirit of those that would hear it, you know. And because sometimes drastic times call for drastic measures and drastic words, and you can't go in there. You know, hey, we don't approve of that, but there's times you got to speak to that evil, and the only thing they understand, and like we're saying, is that when somebody comes tough and says, "I'm going to kick your rear end," you know, and, you know, you see two boxers as they're doing that promotion. They're in one another's face, and they're talking back and forth because it's an intimidation factor. And not that we're to do it, but we're to continue to pray. But God raises up men and women for his purpose, and, you know, thank God that he got in. We need to continue to pray for him, and, you know. And look at his vice president is what? Born-again Christian, Pence. So, and he's in charge of the whole transition team. So you see God's hand orchestrating things. Even in the dark time, we got to see that. And that's what having that biblical view of that God is still there doing things on behalf of his people and his church and those that cry out to him.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, one more.
One more, then we got to end this. One more. See what you did, Fred? Fred, you're such a troublemaker.
I also see this election in a different way, too. I hit people that I work with and a lot of family who are fearful. And I thought, you know what? You can't be fearful. God, if you are a Christian, if you believe in God, you cannot be afraid because he's behind us. He is at our side. He is leading us. And I said, this is our chance as Christians. Look what happened to this country because we didn't have the courage to stand up. We took God out of our schools. We took it out of our offices. Or, you know, every time we had meetings, no one would pray anymore. People were afraid to say Jesus Christ. Christians were getting harassed, and pastors were told, or in the military, they were told they couldn't use the name of Jesus. And I thought, we let this happen. It was like in the Revelations, God said, I will spit you out because we were not standing up as Christians. We were lukewarm. And this, to me, is our chance. I guess the last election, they said, could have changed had Christians gotten out and voted. And they didn't. So God is saying, wake up. We're like Nineveh. Wake up and do not back down. You stand firm with me. Do not be afraid. So we need to continue to pray. Pray for this country and pray for our president and everyone in Congress. That's what God wants from us.
Amen.
All right, well, we'll end on. I had a couple of scriptures, but we'll end on that note. But let me see. Oh, Nikki, close in prayer.
Lord God, I just thank you for the word you offered us today, Lord God. I pray that it ministers our heart as we walk downstairs and out of here today, Lord God. And I just thank you for each and every person that is in this room, Lord. And I just pray that the word and the praise and worship is just blessed and that you are just, your presence reigns down in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.